and as compassion for compassion, spontaneous celebration of the fire of love, feeling the trigger, that excitement, that
smashing it out by any chance,
sensual, sexual, second chakra, fourth chakra, passion, thankfulness, spontaneous thankfulness, and surrender.
Poverty consciousness is the fear of lack and denial of self-worth. It is mistrusting the natural abundance of life and ignoring your creative potential.
Now, this is something I've discussed with Terence McKenna at some length, and he's very keen on inferences through time.
I'd just become an investigator when I came across Sammy. Mr. Samuel R. Jankis. Strangest case ever.
Review of a Mark Twain performance. The praise that the culture paid him for his integrity as a businessman. The other article in the Times is headed, "The Hero as Man of Letters." And when I read that, you'll hear even more of what this fact meant to his culture. But it is not merely, perhaps it is not mainly as an author, that his countrymen now have most reason to be proud of him. It is as an American who has shown...
Elmer Fudd in Apocalypse Now.
Oh...
There's no reason to call it unbridgeable. That's what it feels like. That's the bridge that's there.
Okay, well, let's stop calling.
See, that's the limitation.
Let's stop labeling. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to accept that as an answer, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say, no, that's no good. That's... Before you started. What is it that stands between you and your goals?
Presented the best and greatest hope for mankind. Even to a child, the contrast was clear between the world of politics, a world of hate and danger, of irrational beliefs and fears, of mass manipulation and disgraceful blots on human history, and the world of science, international in scope, forging friendships and working relationships across national boundaries and political systems, encouraging a dispassionate habit of thought, and ultimately leading to fresh knowledge and technology that would benefit all mankind. The world might not be a very good place, but some...
I mean, what's there to be happy about, really? I'm going to the gym, climbing the Stairmaster, eating the yogurt, checking the voicemail. Smoking the low-tar cigarettes, shaving the bikini line.
Incredibly, this Hollywood film about the dangers of Nazism makes no reference to either Jews or anti-Semitism.
Al Capone, who was alleged to have once said, "Capitalism is the legitimate racket of the ruling class."
The sublime. If you're not giving that to your students, you're shutting them down.
I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to accept that as an answer, though.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to say no.
Of course, are either 30 or 45 minutes long. By listening for less than an hour.
Take it easy, you won't get hurt. Give me the money. Open the register. Open the register. Does he speak English?
It's
July. How many shirts are you wearing?
I'm cold.
Open the register.
You're cold on the 4th of July.
Open the register. Does he speak English? Better tell him to open the register.
Baba, open the register.
Open it.
Open it.
Shut up. Open it. Do you feel that? Do you feel that?
Yeah.
Open it.
Get out. Get down.
Hold it.
Was that, darling?
Don't worry about it.
Don't tell me not to.
It's nothing.
Now, D. Get your wallet.
You're harboring a fugitive. I jumped my parole yesterday. I'm on the run.
Took my chances.
Take you out tonight, but I got some business to do with some people. You know, so why don't you just let me borrow your car for a while?
Okay.
Man, you really creeped us out.
Here comes a roly-poly man and he's singing songs of love. Roly-poly, 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 roly-poly.
It's largely fulfilled its promise. Science has been the great intellectual adventure of our age, and a great hope for our troubled and restless world. But I did not expect science merely to extend lifespan, feed the hungry, cure disease, and shrink the world with jets and cell phones. I also expected science to banish the evils of human thought, prejudice and superstition, irrational beliefs and false fears.
Promise not to steal it. Gotta go to work in the morning.
Achtundsiebzigster Nachtzug nach Hamburg. Schön, dass ihr mit dabei seid. Sagt mal, Leute, geht's euch auch gelegentlich so? Man kommt einfach zu nichts mehr. Ja. Ich hatte ja die ganze Woche so viel zu tun, war ständig unterwegs, war 2 Tage im schönen Süden Deutschlands. Nächste Woche bin ich auch schon wieder 3 Tage nicht in der Freien und Hansestadt Hamburg. Und dazwischen arbeite ich von früh 8 Uhr bis meistens abends 21 Uhr, sodass ich nicht...
Time for some new metaphysics. Here in the station, another joyride. In the illusion, seems so goddamn real, though. Well, that's the illusion, mate. Another edition off the mothership. Just check in, make sure you've been specified. Pinpointed in the crosshairs of the triangulated concepts, then you can carry the weight, my friends, or try your chance on another.
But I really did. I ended up
gambit.
In some ways, I think I responded it more as like a film, a contemporary film. Than these others that I was sort of, they're sort of couched in their time and they're absolutely wonderful, but they sort of belong to a certain era. This, I mean, you could put this up against, any movie, I feel like, of the late 60s, early 70s, that time, and it would totally stand up. I mean, it's got this kind of ridiculous premise, I think, in terms of, the serial killer is conveniently killing people close to our hero and close to the action, whom we know. But I didn't realize that till much later.
Yeah.
Thinking
gradually
about
now,
you're totally taken in.
Bring
by
your
really
attention
the gruesomeness
to the first
film,
thoracic vertebrae.
I think this is a
located just below
it's
the seventh cervical.
Returned to some of that we saw with some of the other films
scan
we talked
another
about.
Quay
maybe
and
with Rebecca.
Take another shot.
There are 12 vertebrae in the thoracic section of the spinal column.
Or darkly funny.
Or you
very,
can
you
dark
definitely
comedy,
see
yeah.
that here, and I think
go,
in a lot of ways,
go,
this is
bring
the
very loving inner smile now
run together
to each of the thoracic vertebrae.
The film we ended with. This is sort of our
Wild
Bunch.
One of those triangulated variability.
Like this movie better, probably.
Yeah, much better.
But the Wild Bunch was that end of an era, the end of the Western. Yeah. It tips its hand very
just
early
remember,
on in the opening scene. It says, the Western is dead.
There's carryover.
You're
going
carry to see people, even
very
the bad
real
guys, who
important.
Really, of course, are supposed to be good in some way. You identify with them. They have a certain code.
Right.
You realize that there's...
Before you go, I want you to tell me what you didn't tell them. What makes you think there's anything I didn't tell them? We had a deal. I kept my part. But tell me, where are they from? Not where, General. When?
Carryover of throw weight. Yeah, not really.
Found out about Mr. Kane and a certain little blondie named Susan Alexander. He couldn't be elected dog catcher. I'm going to skin Mr. Charles Foster Kane alive.
I'm going to marry him next week.
Jump cut, re-edit, cross scramble, you know, you name it. If it hasn't already been done, and is it cliche already, it soon will be, and then you can redo, redux, nostalgia. Do a missing vector imply. That's a fancy one. Do you have that plugin? That's one of those plugins with a without a bottom, so it can't be cliched. You dig me?
Please, just shut up.
Kind of immune, although you still need to be an artisan. Don't start counting your trickle-down royalist kind of Tory money yet. Cocksuckers.
Pipe gripped firmly in his mouth, and the Bono look-alike walks past a fairly modern nanny wheeling a designer baby carriage. And then the nanny passes two art students sharing...
No, you're not a cocksucker. Even if you are, you get me? Not today.
App that's just out now called Internal Bleeding, Surviving the Hospital, Your Doctor, and America's Epidemic of Medical Mistakes.
Everything today is just...
Thank you. On that one,
interesting
the writing
concepts.
Still is very important, but... The message is equally important.
Concepts
whereas
of intrigue.
Whereas a book that I have coming out in June called Red House, which is the story
concepts
of the
to marry.
Who lived in house in all of New England.
Fun or profit.
One family lived in the house for 300 years. Eight generations of that family. That is next.
It was July in Virginia. The scent of the dogwood and the laurel lay heavy on the land, while the burgeoning fruit of the peach and the apple marked the full sway of summer. Seven fateful days, the trees, the flowers, yes, the very ground itself, had shuddered under the roar of cannon, the bark of howitzers, and the crackling of a legion of rifles. Now all was silent. Sledgehammer blows of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson had mauled the Army of the Potomac, and yet that army was not destroyed. 7,000 men had fallen in that dreadful week, and the savagery of the conflict was grimly evident in the river of wounded that wound through the green hills. Now a new sound drifted in the soft evening sky. For Colonel Dan Butterfield, a courageous and able soldier, was also a man of music. To honor his fallen comrades, he had composed a simple and heart-rending melody. On July 2nd, in the year of 1862, its strains floated over the graves that scarred the dark Virginia earth. It has been more than 100 years since that sound was born, but those notes have never died away. Every night of the year, throughout the world, fighting men of America from the north and the south, the east and the west, close their eyes in sleep to its call. And in each of their hearts, there glows a fierce surge of pride.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
Very sure that's the man who shot me.
Thrown like a star in my vast sleep, I opened my eyes to take a peek, to find that I...
Shut up!
It's a matter of working it out. On the big stage. Yes, you've made it. You're on the Broadway. The White Broadway. And you will be reviewed if you haven't already. So don't feel as though you haven't been asked for your ID.
First customer who comes in that door wanting to purchase a flat cat, we will lock that door, lock that door. All right, all right. All three of you will receive pin-up pictures. We don't want anyone fighting here. But you'll have to wait until we finish this broadcast. Sorry, neighbors. A slight interruption, but we settled it without bloodshed.
Thank you.
You're all set to go nowhere. Now, green means you're good. You're in a safe zone, which covers about a 100-foot radius from this guy. You unplug it, the police come immediately. He's like a modem. He gets a constant GPS signal from Mr. Bracelet that goes through your phone line to the monitoring systems downtown. So they know where you are, where you've been, and what you're thinking 25-7.
What if he accidentally goes?
Red light flashes, you got 10 seconds to get your butt back to green or else.
Or else what? The execution squad shows up?
And they don't bring blindfolds. It's tamper-proof and waterproof, so don't try to stick your foot in a bucket of water and hop across the line. It won't work and you'll look stupid. Here's the instructions. Here's my card. Are you all set up to pay $12 every day? I accept all major credit cards.
No other DJ has a bubble machine in East St. Paul. No other DJ. I mean, it's just...
Well, I understand that it costs money.
I need batteries for my car.
Right.
That's what it says on my ad. It's a crazy Christmas bubble machine.
Okay, great. 1-800-521... I need batteries for my tie.
Smart chicks like that require persistence.
I don't want to talk about it, please.
All I know is that she's beautiful, a lot of soul, she's perfect for you. I'm just not going to feel good about this week until I know you guys have hooked up.
No.
I mean, don't you want to feel that cozy little box gripped down in your Johnson?
Hey, mind keeping it down, buddy?
If a woman finds out how I live, that I'm not a published author, that I'm a liar, essentially, any interest she has is going to evaporate real quick. You don't have money at my age, you're not even in the game anymore. You're just a pasture animal waiting for the abattoir.
Abattoir? What is that?
Slaughterhouse.
He wishes to remain anonymous, I wish to remain infamous.
So we're gonna get a long break.
A lot of ambient static in the game room. Don't get in the wrong crossing lane, or don't even lean without some kind of awares. Could get some kind of a European horror story laid on you, Chris. Could be worse.
He was accepted into the Iowa Writers' Workshop in 1972 and received his doctorate in 19th century English literature from the University of Iowa in 1977.
Thank you.
down the five spot to hear Train and Monk. Every weekend I'd be down there listening to John. So one night when he finished at about 5 in the morning, I introduced myself. John, I'm from Philadelphia. I sure would like it if I could come by and you'd show me something, or if I could study with you, you know, sort of master-apprentice thing there. So he says, okay. He was a very quiet man. He wrote his address down, a very neat hand, you know. And I think I left him at 5 or 6 that morning, and I was there promptly at 10 o'clock the next morning. I wasn't even thinking this man's going to sleep. So I waited around, you know, in his apartment until about 12 or 1, because he continued to sleep. His saxophone was sort of laying on a sofa there, and he hadn't put it in the case, as was his wont. I think when he came from the job, he would often practice. Some people say totally just went to sleep, you know, and sometimes he went to sleep with the horn lying on him.
I expected science to be, in Carl Sagan's memorable phrase, a kennel in a demon-haunted world. And here, I am not so pleased with the impact of science. Rather than serving as a cleansing force, science has in some instances been seduced by the more ancient lures of politics and publicity. Some of the demons that haunt our world in recent years are invented by scientists. The world has not benefited from permitting these demons to escape. But let's look at how it came to pass. Cast your minds back to 1960. John F. Kennedy is president, commercial jet airplanes are just appearing, and the biggest university mainframes have 12K of memory, and in Green Bank, West Virginia at the new National Radio Astronomy Observatory, a young astrophysicist named Frank Drake runs a TUI project called OSMA to search for extraterrestrial signals. A signal is received, to great excitement. It turns out to be false, but the excitement remains. In 1960, Drake organizes the first search for extraterrestrial intelligence SETI conference, and comes up with the now famous Drake equation. N equals N times FP times N times FL times Phi times FC times FL. Where N is the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy. FP is the fraction with planets. N is the number of planets per star capable of supporting life. FL is the fraction of planets where life evolves. Phi is the fraction where intelligent life evolves. FC is the fraction that communicates.
And
FL is the fraction of the planet's life during which the communicating civilizations live.
Everybody's going to think you're queer because years ago people thought that way. Why can't they think that way now?
This serious-looking equation gave SETI serious footing as a legitimate intellectual.
The only thing worse than SETI using radio is corporations using it. Well, enough of our wisdom crackers for tonight. It's New Metaphysics. I want to welcome our new sponsors, new affiliates, new syndication package. All the under-the-table money from the allied cell members from my particular program. And it's time for another go-round. Don't worry, you'll be the fodder. You don't have to worry what kind of show it is. Just see it.
Communism. The capitalist mode of production, while on the one hand enforcing economy in each individual business, on the other hand begets by its anarchical system of competition the most outrageous squandering of labor power and of the social means of production.
When Marx refers to the planned nature of communism and the unplanned or anarchical nature of capitalism, he is, of course, aware that there is a great deal of planning going on inside capitalism. But it is not planning of the whole economy.
Or, number two, to remember ourselves in our dreams, to recognize that it is a dream.
Which, again, is an illusion and is nothing more than a red lighting of the problem that your technique isn't appropriate. You're using the wrong tool, my friend.
bloody hell. I'm sweating here. Roasting. Boiling. Baking. Sweltering. It's like a sauna. Furnace. You could fry an egg on my stomach. Up. It's ridiculous. Tremendous. Fantastic. Fantabidozy-tastic.
Officially welcoming you to the neighborhood. I know that you've been following me. No, no, don't. Don't deny it.
Show new metaphysics. Breaking the laws. Walking on the waters with show as my underpinnings. I can do whatever I want. I can bring fears in I would be afraid to even think about in my civilian life back in the States. But out here in the swamp desert, Arctic tundra, I can bring them in because you're more vulnerable than I am. You're our I not. And that can be proved and proved, lab or court. Take your criteria and pick there, my friends. Can be proved, and you're going to be getting it the hardest. Ye being shown, that is my license. Taking very few prisoners, many, many names, a couple of logos, and a few business cards. Having some bad sex on the way up the corporate ladder. You gotta. Come on. Teach you that over there in B school.
These corporations set up business lobby groups that only were there to change that culture, weren't there just for an industry sector as they had been in the past. Then they put themselves on the editorial boards of newspapers, and then they bought the newspapers, right? They got themselves on the boards of governors of universities.
Don't worry, your consciousness will sort of grab onto, overlap, and neatly tuck away the disparities. Not to be worried. All will seamless.
Mr. Host, I assure you, no one is the least bit interested in your offer.
But Mary, just think. Once you're dead, you can appear on Inner Sanctum. You know, we always have a ghost in our story, someone whose voice comes back from the grave and gives advice to our characters. Sometimes I think our theme song should be "My Mummy Done Told Me."
Why, that's very funny. But you know, Mr. Host, talking about voices coming back, that's what happened to me the other day. I heard my own voice coming back to me on the radio while I was eating breakfast.
No.
Yes. I just heard the new Lipton jingle, and then I heard myself. Yes, there I was, talking about Inner Sanctum.
Johnson. That D-back will need oxygen when I fly by and play.
Johnson. Symbol for oxygen.
Oh. Sorry, ma'am.
of Lipton tea, too. You see, it was a record, an electrical transcription that I'd made, all about Lipton.
I'm telling you, though, the best is not only yet to come, it's already partially come and is amongst us right now. The greatest story by you, of you, and thanking God, the goddess, all the way to that rocky moment in exultation. And even better, the writers are still working on it.
There it was. So between this phone call, Bill Douglas, and then going to the video store, I said, well, it must mean we're supposed to watch this.
And let me tell you, it's totally pro-Israel propaganda, this documentary.
Well, I'm a big fan of documentaries.
Uh-huh.
And to say that we're disappointed in this one isn't giving it enough credit. It was a very poorly put together documentary. And I was talking to Mark Glenn on the phone before the show, and I told him, I said, you know what? I went into this with an open mind, and I thought, well, maybe if this guy hits hard enough, the guy who did it was named Mark Levin. He put the movie together. If he hit hard enough, maybe I would switch my views around, or maybe I would question my views or take another look at it. Well, after the movie was over, after an hour and a half, not only didn't I change my views, it strengthened my views even more so.
Yeah, we were really irritated by this film. Basically, this guy Levin wanted to find out why so many people dislike and mistrust the Jews.
Right.
And he wanted to know how much of a role the Protocols of Zion play into that. Now, the Protocols of Zion are supposedly the minutes of this secret meeting held by Jews in the late 19th century, and they were written in Russian. And they really describe, as is pointed out in this documentary, not a subhuman group of people, but a superhuman group of people.
Yeah. And before we get into it, I want to allow the...
One of the most important things they did was that they set up their own think tanks that would appear to be neutral, that would be funded almost exclusively by the corporations themselves, but these think tanks would then put out vast amounts of material, get busy working on campuses, which the Fraser Institute does, to promote this change of culture, which basically is... there is no alternative. The Washington Consensus is the only alternative for the world. Privatization, free trade, deregulation, tax cuts, deficit fighting, individualization of social security.
Yiddish and Hebrew. First, let's get the similarities between the two, and that'll help to explain the differences. Yiddish is a Germanic dialect, which is written using the Hebrew alphabet. So that, in a sense, if you want to read it, if you're reading a Yiddish newspaper, it looks like, in terms of type, it reads from right to left.
Filmmaker himself to speak about what's in this. So if we turn the DVD case over on the back, this is the blurb that Mark Levin wrote about the movie Protocols of Zion. He says, despite all the evidence, millions around the world continue to blame the Jews for 9/11. I have to stop right then and say, despite all the evidence.
Everything changed on December the 7th, 1941, with the attack on the U.S. Navy at Pearl Harbor by Hitler's Japanese allies. Now, instead of telling Hollywood to keep quiet, the U.S. government began pushing them to fulfill their duty and make patriotic war movies.
I forgot to mention that that feminine element is all over show. Or show house, showcase, media, at least the the media that has handles on it, as opposed to coins of the realm and all the other things that interface and act twixt things. So, feminine peoples, you know, like darker, swarthy-skinned people, or people who love their mothers, or don't need suntan lotion. Well, you get the drift. We've all married them. We've all intermarried with one of the darker people. And they've had grandchildren by now who are, in fact, of the darker appearance. It didn't work as planned. And this is all coming from that drive towards entertainment. Towards Milton Berle wearing a dress, etc. Or since the first shadows on the cave wall. And even the non-play in Nippon Land, whose very actions undo any kind of iconography and hard, calloused wall between audience and show person, as only the mother of all media in the Orient can show. That Andy was right. Except it's not 15 minutes. And you can have a party. Where everybody is in show business. And get up the next day without a hangover, probably. If that's what you're into.
I'm a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me position of a burying place that I might bury my dead. Who are these children of Het? They're the Hittites.
What's it good for?
15 or 20 big ones.
That one? Any guns?
Just some fat ass to come in, man. They all got pacemakers. It'll short circuit when you charge through the door.
All right, I'm interested. Can you help me with a partner?
What about Kelly Mason, man? He comes through here all the time. He loves you. He'd jump at the chance to work with you.
Hey, who's that kid that just got out?
That's Augie Morales' brother.
Is that Augie's kid brother?
Yeah.
Get him over here.
Hey, Chungi. Yeah.
How you doing?
Nice to see you. This is Max Demo, man. He's a good friend of Augie's.
Hi.
You don't remember me, do you?
Yes. You're a fan of my brother's, right?
How's he doing?
He's not doing very well right now. He's doing 20 years in Arizona, and has a lot of problems in California, too.
You vouch for him?
Oh, yeah, man. He's as good as Augie was at that age.
Can I get a hold of him through you?
I got his phone number. You can catch him in here.
I got something for you, maybe. We'll talk later.
Okay. Anytime. Just give me a call.
You give my love to your brother.
I will.
All right.
Thank you very much. See you later, now. Bye-bye. Well, he's too smart for that. He's a good thief for his age.
You know what I'd like to do? Why don't you run me by that motel? We'll check it out. And we can go cut it out.
Yeah, well, I'll drive you out there, but I'm not going to rob it for you. You got to do that yourself. I got stomach trouble. No guts.
This is the way it has to be, and that these think tanks play an enormously important role because they're often cited as being neutral. As government cutbacks mean that we're not doing as much research, independent research by government agencies anymore, more and more the media will turn to a think tank like the Fraser Institute, take their material and put it out as fact, when in fact it is pure dogma, you know, in a trade agreement negotiation. You will find groups like the Fraser Institute, the Business Council on National Issues in Canada, the Business Roundtable in the United States, the Kaiden Run in Japan. They literally sit with governments and they negotiate, and then these think tanks take that information to the public as if it's somehow neutral information.
They will say, "Don't you miss it, Cal?" I'll say, "What, England? Nah, fucking place. It's a dump. Don't make me laugh. Grey, grimy, sooty. What a shithole. What a toilet. Every cunt with a long face, shuffling about, moaning. All worried. No thanks, not for me." They say, "What's it like then, Spain?" And I'll say, "It's hot. Hot. Oh, it's fucking hot." Too hot. Not for me. I love it.
Up. I turn off the alarm. I look outside so that I know what to wear. I take a shower with soap. And then I shave. Sometimes I cry for no reason. I'm getting a handle on it. I wake up. I get dressed.
I'm not crazy. I know the difference between right and wrong.
I take my meds. When Lewis is gone, I make the coffee, which can be tricky. I eat breakfast. But I don't read the paper. It confuses me, which makes me mad. I wake up.
And then a wave of sheer terror swept over Bobby at last, and he turned and ran wildly away. The way little boys always run in nightmares, trying so hard and moving so slowly and all the time falling down.
I put on my coat and go to class. Wake up.
Mr. Bird, not guilty. Mr. Campbell, guilty. Mr. Chafee. Not guilty.
Well, I'm officially welcoming you to the neighborhood. I know that you've been following me. Don't. No, don't. Don't deny it. I'm not upset.
Very enclosed. You feel like you're never going to get out. Of course, they took me to Roots. It helped a lot. But I think that's what he needs, is to have a little more freedom. Whether he's got to go out in a pants with staff or, you know, someone strong enough that can handle him. But I really don't think it's right putting him in a seclusion room. I don't think that's the answer.
Nothing works here.
Let's talk about how it actually feels in the room here, talking to me, telling me how you really feel, and not just being this nice good boy.
Oh, okay, well, I hate the hospital. I've had to forsake school, and therefore I don't have a real career that I love, and that I'm stuck doing things that are repetitive and redundant and not challenging.
Is it possible, rather than being the psychologist, you've become the psychological patient? And that's become your job.
When a woman finds out how I live, that I'm not a published author, that I'm a liar, essentially, any interest she has is going to evaporate real quick. If you don't have money at my age, you're not even in the game anymore.
That's how you've spent the last years.
I don't think I wanted to become a patient, thinking that that would be a better alternative than being, than having a job or something like that.
But there certainly is something that keeps you doing it.
Disneyland, and we're happy that each and every one of you could join us on KFI Radio for this very, very, very special night of family entertainment here at Disneyland. It's the happiest place on earth, and we have Clarence Powell who is with us. Clarence is the director of marketing for Disneyland, and a very fine lady hanging on in Glendale as well. If you have any questions for him, ma'am, Betty, is it? Hello, Betty? Yes, buddy, hi. Hi, Betty, how are you?
I'm sorry, my connection is not too good.
I'll call back in. I can hear you fine, Betty. I can hear you fine. Betty? Betty, do you have any questions for Clarence Powell? Who is the director? Okay, we've lost that line.
So we've lost line four. Powell, you need to go to...
Yeah, I know we did, but... Clarence, had quite a night here at Disneyland, Clarence, and it's great for you to be with us. And what have we got planned?
On behalf of Disneyland, we want to welcome you and thank you for joining us here at the happiest place on earth.
Well, thank you very much, Clarence.
We present you with this key to the city. And all of us here at Disneyland hope you enjoy a great, great time. Phil, here you go.
Thank you very much, Clarence. We are having a ball, and we're having a ball remembering being kids. We were going to get our audience involved in what it was, the favorite ride that you had, your favorite childhood memory.
And then I jump cut all of this just to get him in here faster.
Ich mal Zeit habe, meine Schuhe zum Schuster zu bringen oder den Anzug in die Reinigung zu bringen oder aus der Reinigung zu holen, das war in dem Fall das Problem.
Al Capone, who was alleged to have once said, "Capitalism is the legitimate racket of the ruling class."
Scientists who would rather look at something complicated. They would rather look at an omelet or a human body and understand it, not in terms of its ingredients, but just in all the myriad ways that you can understand.
At 10 hours UTC, 19 hours Japan time, I'm Yuji Osawa. In our top stories, a North Korean diplomat has indicated willingness to hold talks with Japan in January as agreed upon, regardless of whether the six-party talks on North Korea's nuclear program can be resumed. And Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi has decided to launch a central task force to deal with trouble caused by this winter's heavy snowfall in Japan. Now the news in detail.
Coming at you with more sports in your shorts. You know, watching the game without betting is like having sex with your hat. Oh, yeah, it's got you covered, but it just don't fit. Hey, give me my hat. I'm going to take some calls.
Hey, Joe, am I on?
How would I know?
I need a tip.
First one's free.
What's the spread on midnight?
Well, the desert says 3-1 on the end of the world, but for my money, you'll be mowing the lawn and popping brewskis per usual tomorrow morning.
No, I bet Mom's farm on Armageddon.
Oh, well, if you can't stand the heat, don't bet the kitchen. Grease dog on two.
You got a problem, chum.
Yeah?
You're betting on your kids' soccer games.
It's only a problem when they lose, dog. Sit up and tell me something I don't know.
It's over, chumper. We're pulling the plug.
You're drinking out of the toilet on this one, dog man.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Check your screen.
Hey, what's that big eyeball doing there?
It ain't CBS, pal.
Hey, I'm starting to get sleepy.
Yeah, we're coming in.
Yeah, well, I'm out of here.
Oh, hey, no,
hey,
you're
what
not.
Are you doing? Hey, let me out of here. Let me out of this place.
You know, Rex?
Yeah, I think that's me.
Well, I've been drinking this popular brand of beer pretty near 100 years. I'm still so depressed.
Me too. I can't even line dance anymore.
You boys are down in the dumpsters because your adult beverage is only an alcoholic-enhanced dietary supplement.
How come you're so peppy, Roy?
Here, take a swig of what my grandkids put me on, the last Roundup.
I'll try anything.
Vallejo Police Department.
I want to report a double murder.
May I have your
name?
If you
go 1 mile east on Columbus Parkway to the public park, you'll find kids in a brown car. They were shot with a 9mm Luger. I also killed those kids last year. Goodbye.
Time after time.
If it's not honest, then it's not jazz.
That I'm so lucky to be loving you.
what we conceive of as being jazz and what we consider the mainstream is actually a small ensemble music, and they're trying to find a common ground, and the exploration is the thing.
It's a form of music that is alive in the moment. People who improvise are really living on the edge. They're composing in the present moment as they're in front of an audience or in a studio.
The hero, if there is one, is the cop who gets the wrong man.
Yeah, absolutely, in this film. But like The Wild Bunch, where all of a sudden you feel like, wow, we haven't seen this in a Western before. Right. We haven't seen this kind of brutality and this kind of violence. And here all of a sudden you see in Hitchcock, this is almost just like that, just like burying the Western. This is burying Hitchcock. This is Hitchcock finally getting maybe to put all the stuff on screen that Hollywood would never allow.
Did you like sucking him? I didn't suck him. He fucked me in the mouth, braced the back of my head with his hand, and kept thrusting harder and harder.
Goodbye.
Claire rested her head on my stomach and watched. I liked it. She was so gentle. Derek was rougher.
If you like, I could tighten the lugs up for you.
If you don't mind.
Well, you can't be too careful.
Thank you.
No problem. Have a good night.
It's okay.
Almost completely deleted out of world culture in almost any form, which is just like any other art form, like musician or poetry or painting or any form of creativity, really. See, creativity is this large field, and what we call the arts, down to what we teach our children to play with and how we teach them to play when they're small children, institutionalizes them into consensus reality, which again is domination reality, with these four pillars: singular authority, hierarchy, dominating male principle, and only logic and linear logic and linear reason, no intuition, which led to empiricism and all of science as we know it. It's the phone company and the sciences. And if you think it's bad having political information be freely expressed, in world mass media, freely and cheaply, which of course mass media always is. It's always free and cheap because it's a network. It forms synergy with us and creates much more than the cost that it requires to so-called build it or pay for it. Even in domination reality terms, there are magic doors, there's paradoxes and Confucian, whatever those things are called, questions without answers and so forth, you know, in Japanese poetry. All through our Western world, they're just twisted over one, you know, they're sort of like torqued a little bit as they go from east to west. Whenever you get any philosophy from the east, it's always reinterpreted into the more Western version of domination reality, which, as we know today, has become pretty much the central part of the hybrid that is world mass media culture today, which of course we know is just as big a part of our culture as talking to human beings physically is. In fact, of course, the big increase towards more of this electrosphere culture, which in many ways has been a negative, but of course is also a bridge to dominion, a free world.
Well, aren't you going to tell me about it?
The first Thanksgiving was for the year of grain that was presented by the two goddesses to Triptolemus, the first high priest of Eleusis. They taught him the cultivation of grain, which Triptolemus then disseminated over the whole globe. Persephone, however, was not always allowed to remain with her mother, because she had taken nourishment from Hades, contrary to the order of the highest gods. As punishment, she had to return to the underworld for part of the year. During this time, it was winter on Earth. The plants died and were withdrawn into the ground, to awaken to new life early in the year with Persephone's journey to Earth. The initiates were forbidden by penalty of death to divulge what they had learned, beheld in the innermost, holiest chamber of the temple, in the telesterion, which means goal. Not one of the multitude that ever initiated into the secret of Eleusis has ever done this. It must have been an illumination.
Well, it didn't say much. Just listened.
She put a question to you.
Yeah.
Which was?
Who you thought of me?
To which you said?
Well, she probably have told you.
Tell me nothing.
Look dumb.
Look dumb?
It's like this.
Like what?
Retired.
Are ya?
Afraid so. I haven't not got lots of money. I've got enough. I'll do anything not to offend you. But I can't take part. I'm not really up to it.
Not up to it?
No, I'm not.
I see.
I'd be useless.
Useless?
I would be.
In what way?
In every fucking way.
Why are you swearing? I'm not swearing. Listen, girl, I'm going to tell you a little story.
I know a bloke who knows a bloke who knows a bloke.
Hello.
Now, you know this bloke.
Do I?
This is a bloke you know.
Is that Mr. Logan?
Who's this?
Hello, Mr. Logan.
Hello.
What you doing?
Watching telly.
What you watching?
Nothing. Is that Stan?
Of course it is, you cunt.
Stan Higgins.
Wants me to put a team together.
8 men. Strong. Ain't afraid of graft. It's gonna take all night. Good boys. Gotta be good boys. Reliable. Positive attitude. It's very important.
Okay. It's a strange world, Sandy. Dorothy Valance is married to a man named Don. They have a son. I think the son and the husband have been kidnapped by a man named Frank. Frank has done this to force Dorothy to do things for him. I think she wants to die. I think Frank cut the ear I found off her husband as a warning for her to stay alive. Frank is a very dangerous man.
My God. Should you tell my father?
No, I can't do that. I can't prove any of this. I found out my information illegally. You could get into a lot of trouble.
You saw a lot in one night. It's a strange world.
Burial. There's nothing in that room.
Isn't it beautifully spare?
Today. Can't wear crop pants. I look like a whale. Please, I look terrible. I am as cold and fat today.
It was awful. It was swell.
Understand why it's so difficult to confirm an appointment.
I know, I'm so sorry, Miranda. I actually did confirm last night.
The details of your incompetence do not interest me. Tell Simone I'm not going to prove that girl that she sent me for the Brazilian layout. I asked for clean, athletic, smiling. She sent me dirty, tired, and paunchy. An RSVP, yes, the Michael Kors party. I want the driver to drop me off at 9:30 and pick me up at 9:45 sharp. Then call Natalie at Gloria's Foods and tell her no for the 40th time. No, I don't want duckwise. I want torts filled with warm rhubarb compote. And then call my ex-husband and remind him that parent-teacher conference is at Daltner tonight, and then call my husband, ask him to please meet me for dinner at that place I went to with Massimo. Also, tell Richard I saw all the pictures that he sent for that feature on the female paratroopers, and they're all so deeply unattractive. Is it impossible to find a lovely, slender female paratrooper?
No.
Am I reaching for the stars here?
No.
Not really. Also, I need to see all the things that Nigel has pulled for Gwyneth's second cover try. I wonder if she's lost any of that weight yet. That's all.
When his mother came home around midnight, Bobby was curled up on the sofa. Instantly, he jumped up and ran to her and to Tom Stevens as they came into the hallway.
Mom, Mom, listen. Bobby, what are you doing down here at this hour, fully dressed?
Hello, Mr. Stevens. Mom, I had to tell you.
Tell me what?
What's the matter, Bobby?
I followed Mr. Carpenter tonight, right after you left, and gee, where do you think he went? Right into the spaceship.
Now, Bobby, just one minute.
Honest, Mom, I saw him. They got a shed built around the spaceship so nobody can get to it. But Mr. Carpenter sliced a signal to that Iron Man up there, and what do you think?
Bobby, have you been dreaming again?
Well, sure.
No, Mom, honest, I haven't. I promise you, I saw it.
Where did you see all of this?
Well, I'm telling you, on the lawn down at the mall. In that place where the soldiers are all out in front.
And where were the soldiers all this time?
Well, that robot fella grabbed him and knocked him out.
Oh, Bobby.
Yeah, and then Mr. Carpenter walked into the shed, and the spaceship opened up, and he walked right inside, and it closed again. Gee, I like Mr. Carpenter, but I'm scared, Mom.
Darling, it was just a bad dream.
Very important. That's what we're looking for, Tom.
Who's behind this, Stan?
Who do you think?
Who do you think, girl?
I don't know. Who?
Who?
Teddy.
Teddy.
Teddy Bess.
Mr. Black Magic himself. Teddy Bess.
A few months back, he gets invited to this party. Massive place on the Bishop's Avenue. Wild party. Orgy.
Orgy.
Said it was fucking incredible. Arses everywhere. Doing everything. Wanking. Spanking. Fucking. Cocaine. Camcorders. It's like ancient Rome.
How are you feeling, Teddy? Are you all right? Having fun?
Yes, I guess. What you staring at?
And who's he fucking sitting next to?
Who's he fucking sitting next to?
Teddy, this is Harry. Harry's the chairman of Imperial Emblat.
Only the fucking chairman of Imperial Emblat. You heard of that?
No.
Of course not. That's because they're one of those sniffy lot. Don't need publicity, don't seek it above it.
The back of your head.
What do you say?
I'm staring at the back of your head.
Well, don't. Stare at the back of your own fucking head.
They're a bit like standard gradings, TMD. Remember them?
Yeah, safety deposits. Late 70s.
That's it. Only these are bigger.
Much bigger.
Men and women.
Oh. Definitely.
Janice in Datebook left the fondue party before everyone got naked.
That's a crime.
Just seen her.
Money machine keeps rolling. That's what it's designed to do. Like the railroad before and after it. And the invention of the wheel. Gary Geiserman, New Metaphysics. New affiliates. More money. All the bad things we can't talk about on a show. Religion on the side, keep it all dressed up, then tuck in a couple of the contradictions under the skin, kind of an ingrown affair you get used to after you sleep on it for at least 11 days or something like that. On to a new thing here. You know, the good guys win. Happening now. I mean, what did you think it was going to look like? With a little gravitas on it. Not like a movie, that's for sure. This is the granddaddy of all movies.
virtual reality games, terror cells, prayer groups, three packs of underwear, you know, show business. I'll show you yours if you can be in mine.
By any chance?
Professional craftsmanship on there to keep all the edges rounded off and trimmed. Trimmed like good little toenails. So I want you all to get used to the all that you get used to's, but not in the regular way. Not in granddad daddy's way. Make up a new one for yourself and put it in the ambient space. Then get used to it. But never quite really. A little humility there. No circles in this man's humble army. It's spiral onward through the 618 area code. The only ratio that allows for what's been allowed for all these years. And the best is coming, is happening. Oh, it feels so good. What it's all about. You knew it. You got it. And if you didn't, we don't need to quabble. No need to squabble.
Corn chowder.
That's an interesting choice.
You do know that cellulite is one of the main ingredients in corn chowder.
So none of the girls here eat anything?
Not since 2 became the new 4 and 0 became the new 2.
Well, I'm a 6.
Which is the new 14?
Shoot.
Oh, never mind. I'm sure you had plenty more polyblend where that came from.
Okay. You think my clothes are hideous, I get it. But, you know, I'm not going to be in fashion forever, so I don't really see the point of changing everything about myself just because I have this job.
Yes, that's true. That's really what this multi-billion dollar industry is all about anyway, isn't it? Inner beauty. Hello? Right. Come on. Miranda's pushed the run-through up a half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always 15 minutes early.
Which means?
You're already late.
In other words, thinking of your body has this wonderful device that can put you on the other side of the screen where you can perform plays of Shakespeare. You can have a drunken poetry reading with James Joyce. Anyone in the world, we're breaking down. Something called the American Chorus Association in Pennsylvania, going to be all over the country. Classes are now being taught. Linda Nolan up in Stockton teaching communication with computers. And these are clumsy, old-fashioned computers, but still we have to start somewhere. They're the Model T. Linda Nolan has a class of 22 people using 17 computers. And they can, as fast as each one of them thinks it's up there on the screen, they're not just watching some how to do it film, they're participating. They can be in modem communication with the author or the communication class in another part of the world. I'll close now with one more minute. Wait, okay. I want to give you an example of how the power that in the past has been controlled by tribal chiefs and industrial combines and fascist communist organizations and religious organizations Can I be available to the 14-year-old kid in the ghetto? Because the two problems that face America today are racism and education. And they both center on the 14-year-old kid in the ghetto. That's your symbol for the future of our country and the human race. This 14-year-old girl in the ghetto is going to have... It's going to cost less than a pair of Nike, you see? Information's free. She doesn't like Rambo. I think Rambo's the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. You ever seen Rambo? I mean, sliced alone, naked, all with a gold gymnasium muscle, with his big gun, he's shooting down colored people for Nixon and Reagan. It costs $45 million. What can you or I do to compete with that? Well, here's what you can do. The 14-year-old girl in the ghetto can go to the video library, you know, store for 99 cents. You can rent it on a Friday night. Come home, pop it on your VCR, and then you look at it and think, you can't digitize and change the whole thing. Pick out, say, a climactic 60 or 30 seconds. Maybe the one where Sly Stallone's banging through the jungle and he comes out in the village like that and he should have been shooting people. Okay, you digitize that. You know, once you get a digitized little paint program, you can, hey, let's get something from the National Geographic. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that ugly-looking gorilla, yeah, from the waist up, yeah. And how about that gun? Well, the National Geographic, a big wilted celery stalk. Oh, no, there's a picture of a... of an enormous elephant's penis, limp. Okay, just cut that out, digitize it. And for sound, let's see, how about Minnie Mouse? Okay. So then, you can do this in an hour. It's costed so far, it's costing 99 cents, and maybe to rental, $2. You change it so that Sly Stallone comes running through the bushes, crash, 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 into the native village. And he's a gorilla carrying a limp elephant's penis, and he's saying, Ronald Reagan. Then you put that videotape back in the box and send it back to the store. Pretty soon, video libraries will become places where you expect to get the best of Joe Jones, see? Shit, who wants to see Rambo's version, see? 14-year-old kids will be famous in their neighborhood because we're all going to be movie directors. The 14-year-old kids' ghetto room is going to be an information education center with more power than MGM with its film library had 20 years ago. Thank you for your attention. Vicky and Ambrosia here. Yeah, have you passed out those pieces of paper? Huh? Have you? Okay. At 12:30 tomorrow, we're going to be demonstrating some of these videos. Thank you.
Three sections, each with eight lines and 17 symbols.
No breaks between the symbols, denoting different words. No numbers or clues to substitution keys.
And you got symbols from at least seven different sources. Greek, Morse code, maybe semaphore, weather symbols, astrological signs.
I got a roommate where we can find the living room couch.
Oh. What's wrong with the living room couch?
You tend to slip off a lot.
I'm sure we'll manage.
Now, let's see what we're working with.
Ah, it's like Oklahoma and New Jersey had a baby out of wedlock.
Actually, I'm from Cincinnati.
No, that's not possible. Not you.
Welcome to the dollhouse, baby.
I'll tell you what, Stan. That is fucking impressive, that place. I'll say that. Fucking futuristic.
Yeah? Doable.
Don't see why not.
You see, girl, where there's a will, and there is a fucking will,
there's a way. And there is a fucking way. There's always a fucking way.
I'm officially welcoming you to the neighborhood. I know that you've been following me. Don't deny it. I'm not upset. And quite frankly, I don't even want to know why. I just would like you to know that I'm a little on the shy side. So, short of all this sneaking around, being some kind of hip, new-aged way of coming on to a somewhat older man, I really feel obliged to tell you that I rather enjoy my privacy. You see, the world is, it's in a heightened state of paranoia. And I tend to think that someone as intelligent and attractive as you doesn't need to be wasting your time stoking the fire. So now you know, you're not the only one who's watching. So feel free to pass that along if you like. Cool. Are we cool?
Scarcely knew what I had done.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, we're fine.
Must have been worse than I thought. I can give you a lift to a service station.
Okay.
I didn't know you had a baby.
Oh, is that okay?
The more the merrier. You shouldn't smoke. It's a bad habit.
I think we just passed a filling station.
It was closed.
Do you always go around helping people in the night?
When I'm done with them, they don't need much help.
Shh, it's okay.
Before I kill you, I'm going to throw your baby out the window.
Jane said that Paul is the biggest gossip in Tangier. And I think that that's really true. Although he denies that he cares about other people's sex lives, for example, he cares in a way that assures that he's got a ready supply of stories about scandals and other people in Tangier.
It brings up a whole other issue about how Monsanto knew what to complain about. Jane did an interview, and she asked a lot of questions, and if you piece together the questions, I guess if you were a real smart guy, you could figure out what the story was going to be like. But their letters were much more right to the point than even that can explain, which has always caused me to believe that they shared our scripts somehow, either faxed them over or told them what was in it or whatever from the beginning. And they always denied this, I should say, but I should also say that we found in the discovery process of our lawsuit later that another Fox investigative reporter in Kansas City had done another story, totally unrelated to bovine growth hormone. This happened to be a story about another chemical, Dursban, which is an insecticide that is produced by the Dow Chemical Company. And he found that Dursban posed a lot of health risk, and even though the federal government in America had not yet banned it, perhaps they should, and there had not been sufficient tests. And he was about to report this on the air. Very parallel, similar kind of warning stories that didn't tell you it was terrible, but raised a lot of questions. And Dow had a fit, and as he found out, the lawyers at Fox faxed his scripts before they were ever broadcast to the PR people at the Dow Chemical Company. They reviewed the scripts, rewrote what they didn't like, presented the facts the way Dow Chemical saw the facts, gave it back to the Fox lawyer. The Fox lawyer turned around and told the reporter, you know, this would really be a better way of saying this. And he said no, and they said, we'll fire you if you don't. And with three children and, you know, a big mortgage and a couple of car payments, he told me he had no choice. And he testified under oath to all this. I'm not making this up. And he left as soon as he could. But having known that's how this corporation does business, how these two corporations get together and have sort of an understanding about the way things should be explained, you know, to the rest of us unwashed masses, I've always believed, though I can't prove it, my personal opinion is that they shared our story with Monsanto, and that's how Monsanto made it.
Strange things happen in the mind of man. No matter what went on outside, the mind forged ahead, manufacturing its own adventures for itself. And who was to know where reality was, inside or out? Although this was not a comforting point of view, he did not reject it, because it coincided with one of his basic beliefs, that a man must at all costs keep some part of himself outside and beyond life.
Why don't you go ahead, chop some lettuce, cucumber, whatever else you might want for your salad.
Let's talk about your afternoon.
We had to write again.
Oh, yeah? Well, let me guess. Topic A, why am I all fucked up? Or topic B, living with being all fucked up?
Reggie had us list a typical day and kept getting stuck on I wake up. Couldn't think of it as a list.
Wow, that's your problem right there. Don't think of it as a list. Think of it as a story instead.
I mean, a story like what?
Oh, like, you know, once upon a time I woke up, took a piss, beat off in the shower, you know, something like that.
And how's that gonna help me?
Oh, well, everything's a story, kid. Stories are what help us make sense of the world.
I can't tell stories.
Oh, well, then use one you already know.
Oh, okay. How about War and Fucking Peace?
Well, yeah, that's a story. I'd start a little simpler, though. How about Goldilocks and the Three Fucking Bears? Come on, let's hear it.
What? You want me to tell you Goldilocks?
Entertain me.
Okay. Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Goldilocks.
And then?
Now, I don't know, man. She got eaten by a wolf. Fucking hit by a truck. This is stupid.
Start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going. So start at the end of Goldilocks. And lose the wolf. That's Little Red Riding Hood. This is Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
The Three Bears find Goldilocks asleep in their beds. And then, she takes off.
Exactly. All right, now that's the end. Now, what happened before that?
One of them goes, someone's been sleeping in my bed, and she's still there.
Right, right. And before that, it was someone is sitting in my chair.
Yeah, and then the bear kid's chair's all jacked up.
I mean, that's it. I mean, that just goes all the way back to her walking in the door.
First, she walks in the forest.
You sequence just fine. You just got to start at the end, work backwards. Write that down.
Praise. Each belonging to one clan or lineage group, and each starting from the seacoast and extending inland, as if Easter were a pie cut into wedges. Each territory had its own chief and its own major ceremonial platform supporting statues. That division into radially sliced territories is typical for Polynesian islands elsewhere in the Pacific. What is unusual in that respect about Easter is that those competing clan territories were also integrated religiously. And to some extent, economically and politically.
You get this rape and murder scene that sets the plot in motion, and it's really shocking, I think, in its brutality and the realistic way it's portrayed. And again, compared to some of the things that
really appealed to me. I've written about such things a lot. He was a Darwinist, as I am. I am always trying to...
Well, I've lived in Morocco I don't know how many years, and of course I'm an outsider, complete outsider. It's chance that I came here, that Gertrude Stein suggested it. And she might as easily have suggested Spain, and I would have gone there.
He's certainly the complete expatriate. He has a horror of America. He has a horror of every place except Tangier. And he seems to be developing a horror of Tangier, too. The moment he goes out of his apartment, he is horrified by what he sees there. I think that he just doesn't like reality.
And the swallow says, to my way of thinking, there's nothing more delightful than to be a stranger. And so I mingle with human beings because they are not of my kind, and precisely in order to be a stranger among them. There's more to say about the friction between the person who is outside his social milieu and the person who's in it. If you write about the person who's in it, you're simply writing about the milieu. It's more interesting to write about what doesn't come out properly in life. In other words, unsatisfactory experiences are much better to write about than satisfactory ones.
Daddy, Daddy, it was just like you said. Now that the living outnumber the dead, where I come from, it's a long, thin thread across an ocean, down a river of red. Now that the living outnumber the dead, just like you said. Now that the living outnumber the dead, speak my language. Speak my language. My language. Hello. Hello. Hello.
There go the dead.
As always, we're going to cruise through these tricks fairly quickly, so feel free to pause or rewind the podcast if we're going too fast. And remember, always work on a copy of the image, not the original. And now, on with the trick. Hey everyone, today we're taking a look at how to edit down a shoot in Adobe Bridge. This trick allows you to quickly rate and sort all of your images so you can quickly focus in on your good images from a shoot while eliminating the bad shots without deleting them. Unfortunately, this trick will only work with Photoshop CS2, since older versions of Photoshop do not include most of the functionality we need for this trick. So to start editing a shoot, first you need to have a folder of images on your computer.
I wake up. I turn off the alarm.
About seems to mimic some of the things we were working on.
Does it ever bother you that people call you Shorty?
Does it bother you that people call you Retard?
Nobody calls me that.
Right.
In fact, Bob, if I remember right, when Teller called you, when you originally got the call from him to contact the gentleman at EG&G, Teller said that he was no longer active but worked in a chief consultant capacity.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
Something happened after I left because, in fact, I'll tell you, I had minders appointed down here who really run this country and run the prime ministers. My minders operate out of a group called the Melbourne Club, and they're, you know, the old kind of British Raj, you know, cigars and port white-haired guys. Anyway, they brought me into their halls of power, and I had lunch a few times with the kingpins there, and my mentor was Sir John Williams and Henry Somerset, Sir Henry Somerset. Anyway, we were sitting there one day at lunch, and they were talking amongst themselves about someone moving in on them, or they were like it's an undeclared war status, and that they were losing. And they never mentioned aliens or all that kind of stuff, so don't jump the gun. But I heard them say, well, yeah, Henry, it looks like we're going to lose this. You know, they're just moving in. And I waited, and nothing else was said. And I said, well, excuse me, gentlemen. I said, by they, you know, thinking I'd be clever, I said, do you mean the European Economic Community? Because we've been talking, you know, large corporate or money deals in the country. And they both look at me like I'd, you know, done a route at the table or something and said, oh, maybe we'll do some fishing up the farm this weekend, Henry. Yes, John. And, you know, immediately I knew that I asked a question that I should have known the answer to already and didn't. Anyway, they indicated at that point that they were being taken over. Well, I got away from the organization and wrote the book and all that. Years passed, and about 7 years ago, I have a friend in Scottsdale, Arizona, named Conrad Murphy. And Conrad goes to a lot of places, and he races boats and cars, and he's you know, a fairly active fellow in business. Anyway, Conrad is invited to give the morning devotional at some big business breakfast, like for the, you know, Arizona 500 Club or something like that. And so he rang me. He said, look, guess who I'm going to give the breakfast benediction right next to, who's sitting right next to me next week is, you know, Edward Teller. And I said, wow. I said, can you get to Dr. Teller and say, well, take a message. I want to talk to him. He said, not a problem. So I waited and waited, and the week passed, and so Conrad rang me back, and he said, wow. He said, well, I sat next to him, and he said, you know, it was all kind of, you know, normal conversation, give the benediction, eat a bit. And he said, after he had a couple bites, I said to him, look, what do you know about this fellow named Stan Deo, you know, down in Australia working on anti-gravity and, flying saucers? And he said, Teller looked at him very blankly and said, don't know the fellow.
What's that?
Similarities in the lowercase r's.
And that?
It is you waiting in the hall. If you speak again, I have to concentrate.
Sorry.
Sorry, Counsel speaking.
And so
no,
what we...
That's not what I asked you. I couldn't have been clearer. There you are, Emily. How many times do I have to scream your name?
Actually, it's Andy. My name is Andy. Andrea, but everybody calls me Andy.
I need 10 or 15 skirts from Calvin Klein.
Okay, what kind of skirts do you...
Please bore someone else with your questions. And make sure we have Pier 59 at 8 a.m. tomorrow. And remind Jocelyn I need to see a few of those satchels that Mark is doing in the pony. And then tell Simone I'll take Jackie if Maggie isn't available. Did de Marchelier confirm?
De Marchelier?
Did he get him on the phone?
Okay.
And Emily?
Yes?
That's all.
Was snuffed in exactly the same spirit that the highway department would remove a big rock from Highway 101. It was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
What a disappointment it turned out to be.
Those are our principal biological relationships, and they are our principal emotional relationships. It's a mistake to bring this particular baggage to the negotiating table.
Found that was a kind of a Pyrrhic victory, that what you gain by stopping your humanity and stopping your emotions isn't worth getting. It's like cutting off your head to cure the headache. So they realized that wasn't the way. But that was why Buddha suggested it, so that they'd find out. So then came in the new schools of Buddhism, which said that you must be liberated by tariki. And ta, as I said, means other power. That is to say, the power of something in you that is not your ego.
It's okay. This is all going to be okay.
In the same way as your heart doesn't beat at the will of your ego. So in psychoanalysis, for example, we would say that the unconscious has to be worked on, and that it will be watered and nourished and so on, and eventually the unconscious will produce your integration. This is Jungian language, not Freudian. And you depend on that. It's not you. Because, of course, integration means that you get the two aspects of yourself together and acknowledge them both as you, the conscious and the unconscious, the power of the ego, and the power of the natural organism, or the psyche. And so in every art one realizes there comes a point where your will is exhausted. You've tried everything to make something work, and it won't work.
When erect, how large is it? How long from the scrotum? Here? Here? When erect, how large is it?
With these aliens, because they do not have any of those relationships. They have no parents, no children, no lovers. They go about their business in an entirely different way.
One of the persistent characteristics of regulation is that people who start to work in the government as young, ambitious executives serve time there and then come out into the private sector and work for the companies who were being regulated by that agency.
However, there are some points in, there are some points of contact. They have a sense of focused purpose.
The difficulty with this is that it creates a culture where the general public doesn't have much of a chance of dealing with that agency well. You have to go to the law firms who are hiring the former agents to it. There's a wonderful story. It has to do with a Japanese commercial attaché recently assigned to Washington who drank quite a bit, and he was invited to come and speak on a late night talk show. And the talk show host said, Mr. whatever his name was, what a wonderful contrast it must be for you trying to promote business in the United States in contrast to your previous job, which was in this extremely corrupt African country.
Seen them occasionally in moods that look to me like despair, unhappiness, kind of fatalistic gloom. I have seen them occasionally in a very focused, aggressive, defensive mode. And it was that last mode, the focused, aggressive, defensive mode, that I thought was a possibility if we provoked what they would view as a species survival emergency.
And the Japanese person was utterly unfazed. He said, oh no. He said, it's very much the same thing. He said, in that country, I would get up in the morning and I would take my briefcase and I would put money in it and I would walk around and I would give it to people in the government. In this country, I get up in the morning and I put money in my briefcase and I take it to people who used to be in the government. That is a little bit of the way in which the co-optation process can be caricatured.
This rating scale of yours?
Mm-hmm.
0 to 6.
0 being exclusively heterosexual and 6 being exclusively homosexual.
And being the species they are with the resources they have, it's not good to get them to feel this way about us.
A great many people line up somewhere in the middle.
What makes you think that's true?
Common sense. Remember, about a third of our heterosexual histories have homosexual acts, and vice versa.
You see? Yes?
We are animals on a construction site. why do they act so secretive? Why aren't they more readily available to everybody?
Well, it's a matter of perspective. I don't think they're acting secretive at all. I do think that on our planet, at least, they're nocturnal by preference. That's my impression, and I think that's why so much goes on at night.
Right. I guess I'm about a 3. Huh?
Based on your sexual history, I'd say that's right.
How about you?
I suppose I've been a one or two most of my life, even though it's taken a long time to recognize it.
And now?
Probably 3.
Have you ever done anything about it? Would you like to?
They go where they please. They set up where they please. I haven't detected any intention to be secretive.
May I go?
Sure. Thanks for your time.
I'm willing to help in any way possible. I look forward to the day when police officers are no longer referred to as pigs.
Thanks. We'll be in touch.
You okay?
Don't I look okay?
If you were any thinner, you wouldn't exist.
Ran the maypole, making some butter. The good kind. You don't want that blood getting too thick. You have to move to Siberia. Or die trying. All concepts in place, placed in the initial seed, archetypally involved in the construction of the human brain and its synergistic pairing with the body, known as the mind. None of which having a physical analog. Necessarily. To spin it around that stripper's pole, thank God for that thing. Otherwise, there'd be no referent, no variables. It'd be very constant, you know what I mean? Like E equals MC squared constant. If I keep talking like this, and I have to play a sound effect. But of course, three variables are constant now, aren't they? That is if one has 1 foot off of the bed at all times, off of the game board at all times. While still being in it, of course. You know, the triangulation of grounding in anticipation of the third gender, the three-legged, constantly ground-outed sex. The balanced ion, if you will. All field rings filled and still walking tall, letting it hang down and swing in the breeze. Like a man who isn't one of the Blu-rays. You know, there was a Blu-rays. No one remembers it. A couple of you wackos might know about it, such as me. And Vision was much better then. Much better then.
I wake up. I turn off the alarm. I look outside so that I know what to wear.
Let's go look in the back of the book for the answer. Don't worry. You don't have to save anything for tomorrow.
Because what happens is you get so sick of what's happening, you start to abandon things, and you're not sure if you're abandoning it because it's not working, or you're abandoning it because you're just your ear is tired.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
What happened that night on Route 24 is a part of me now. I just hope that one day Kelly will be ready to see me again, and I can finally tell her what I've only been able to say in my dreams. Until then, all I can do is wake up, take a shower with soap, and try to forgive myself. And if I can do that, maybe others will forgive me too.
Not at the answer yet. Gotta build up, ramp up, build up, foreplay.
I don't know if that will happen. I guess I'll just have to work backwards from there.
Interesting concept. Interesting sentence fragment. Interesting gestalt fragment. All of the archetypal tribe. You know, the elders, the Native Americans, if you will. Except they weren't wiped out. Segregated to a res or a sub-program of some kind. Probably deconsciousized through homeostasis. And the tucking under twixt the folds phenomenon. No, they've pretty much been the Milton Berle character wearing a dress on a Tuesday kind of night.
There's a great north-south issue here. You can't create a gene de novo in the laboratory. This is an extractive industry like oil. Well, you know, oil's found in the Middle East. while genes are found in the equatorial countries of the southern belt, because that's where most of the genetic diversity of the planet is. So now we've got these global genomic companies bioprospecting in places like Brazil. They find a rare gene. If it has commercial value, they immediately seek a patent in various governments. Now, the southern countries, like Brazil, are crying biopiracy. They're saying, hey, come on. These are our resources. We should have compensation.
You okay?
Don't I look okay?
If you were any thinner, you wouldn't exist. What's wrong?
I don't know. Deja vu.
You're tired. You need to sleep.
The northern companies are saying, no, we put in all the time and effort. We need to be compensated for our work. My position is, these genes don't belong to Brazil. I'm sorry. And these genes don't belong to Celera or Monsanto. The gene pool exists a priori and independent of governments or corporations. We're talking about millions of years here of biological legacy. And I allow the gene pool to be the political property of governments or the intellectual property of companies. I guarantee every parent watching this interview, I guarantee you, your children or at least your grandchildren will have gene wars. We fought wars over oil in the industrial age. We fought wars over metals during the mercantilist age, and a lot of people suffered and died. I think we should do the right thing here, and the right thing is to ask the right question. Will our children be well served, and our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren, if they grow up in a world where they think of all of life as intellectual property? The genes, the proteins they code for, the organs, the tissues, the organisms. To show you how out of control this corporate policy is, Dr. Wilmot, who cloned the sheep, his company, PPL, has a patent covering the cloning process, and the British government has granted him a patent on all cloned animals, and the British government did something else. They gave his company a patent on all cloned human embryos up to the blastocyst stage of development. That's the stage where you develop the stem cells that are so important for medical research. Now, think about this for a moment. In the 19th century, we had a great global debate. Can you own an individual human being as commercial property after birth? We had an anti-slavery movement. It spread across the world. We abolished slavery. But now these life science companies have technologies that allow them to own an individual human being at the conceptual through gestation stage. So now one of the great political issues of the 21st century, should corporations be able to own life at its earliest stage from conception to birth? The British Patent Office has said yes. The right thing here, we need to craft a great global treaty to establish the gene pool as a commons, as a trust.
How's progress with Dutton?
Well, he's given me quite a lot of information, but he's reluctant to go any further. I'm afraid I'll have to be more extreme. Of course, I'll win in the end. I always do.
Rather a small fish, you know. Still, it'll give you an opportunity to experiment. After all, he is expendable.
We're talking about millions of years of evolution here. It's a great legacy. This doesn't belong to governments or companies. You know, when we discovered the last continent, Antarctica, we did the right thing. We violated thousands of years of the human territorial imperative, and we did the right thing. We said, look, Antarctica, no government owns it, no company exploits it. It's a trust. We'll set up a treaty. We should at least do the same with millions of years of evolution. Allow the gene pool to be a shared legacy. Create a great treaty so every government becomes a signatory, and make this our finest legacy. Then we can enter the age of biology, and maybe it'll be a renaissance and not a period of dark social upheaval.
Why haven't I a costume?
Perhaps because you don't exist.
And I teach a black musician in the theater. Essentially, I work out of the concept of the jam session. My course is offered to them to give them a chance to come in to play the standard literature of Monk Parker and, you know, the so-called jazz standards, and to get a chance to improvise. Well, I used to get an odd assortment of instruments every year, you know, 16 bongo drums and a violin or something. G minor, C7.
let's go try that. One, two, one, two, three, four.
I'd like to see every student realize his or her maximum potential. When I came here in the 60s or the early 70s, people were much more socially and politically oriented. Today, they're not at all. They all just want to get a good grade. Nobody wants to get involved.
You played for Framington, right?
No, man.
Let me just clean up some of this mess.
What's this?
Yes, this is a project I've been working on for a great many months. It's probably not ready for anyone to see yet, but such is life.
It's all banks?
Mm-hmm. That's right, Chris. They're all banks.
Why are you taking pictures of a bunch of banks?
Because I'm going to rob one of them. Well, we're going to rob one of them. It's a nice little farm bank in the ass end of nowhere where they get all that winter harvest cash. You know what I'm talking about?
You want to steal from farmers?
No, Chris. I'm going to steal from the corporate fuckers who rape the farmers. You know, agribusiness fat cats who give the American farmer enough to grow his crop, not enough to live his life. Fucking tragedy is what it is.
Totally tragic.
So we got to find a bank in the middle of a lot of big farms where one time a year, i.e., right now, they're going to fill that vault with cash so that farmer John can pay Juan and Ramon to pick his crops. There's this quiet, empty place with no security to speak of. And this quiet, empty place, no one really knows exists. I mean, isn't that why you drive an hour and a half each way to work there?
What is this?
Chris, I will totally understand if you feel, you know, betrayed, but, you know, I need your help.
You want me to rob the bank? I can't do that.
Why not, huh? Well, because it's wrong? I don't know, man, but if I had my life ripped out from underneath me the way that you had your life ripped out from underneath you, I don't think I'd give even half a rat's ass about what was right or wrong. I just fucking want my own life back, you know? Look at this shit. Mopping floors, man. Don't you want your old life back?
You can't give that to me.
No, I can't. But I can give you something that's almost as good, man. Maybe even better. I can give you the power.
Power?
Mm-hmm. Power. Why don't you sit down and tell you about it.
Al Capone, who was alleged to have...
Wikipedia suffered charges of inaccuracy from the very beginning. American satirical paper The Onion ran a famous front page, "Wikipedia celebrates 750 years of American independence." And no matter how pleasant it is to stroll around the open spaces of Wikipedia Park, there'll always be some pesky kid that is one of Wikipedia's administrators, regular contributors who are trusted to supervise the editing process itself.
You're at work or whatever, you type in Wikipedia word and you look up a topic and you want to get a quick briefing on it. You want to get useful information, so we try to give a neutral point of view summary of...
No one was hurt, but more than 300 corn products had to be recalled. The Starlink incident also highlighted a weakness in America's regulatory system.
How does that work?
What that means is that there are fewer and fewer suppliers of inputs, fewer and fewer seed companies. We had about 300 corn seed companies at one time in the United States. We're down to five major transgenic players Now, that's a very dramatic transformation. That occurred in about a five-year period in the late 1990s. We went through a period of about $15 billion of acquisition of firms, about $8 billion by one company alone.
And then I jump-cut all of this just to get him in here faster.
Oh. So where does that leave the farmer?
The farmer sits between towering concentration on the input side and towering concentration on the output side, and they feel like they're being squeezed. If the objective is to maintain a sector of independent entrepreneurs rather than serfs, because the choice was really fairly clear. We're either going to have a sector of independent entrepreneurs or we'll have a sector of serfs. Essentially carrying out the orders of the firm.
What about the problem of exports? Because you've got a huge market out there of Europe, and in Europe the consumer does not want GM food.
We're much aware of that, and it isn't just in Europe. There's a great deal of that sentiment elsewhere in the world. There's some in Pacific Rim. There's some in every country, and the polls routinely show that consumers almost worldwide, with a solid majority, really would like to know what they're consuming. Now, I think the resistance probably relates in part to the confidence people have in the regulatory system. But we don't quarrel with the consumer. We don't second-guess the consumer. We may try to educate the consumer, but the consumer doesn't have to be right. The consumer doesn't have to be knowledgeable. The consumer makes choice.
Computer and launch it manually, or you can launch the bridge from within Photoshop. To launch Bridge from within Photoshop, simply go to the File menu and select the Browse option. Bridge will launch, and on the left-hand side, you will see three separate sections. There should be a section for your favorite folders and locations. Then,
and what we need to watch very, very closely is what the consumer continually communicates around the world. The consumer is king. Now, as our listeners probably know, the U.S. doesn't think much of kings. The only king we ever had, we deposed rather promptly. But consumers are aware that the greatest change is occurring in the history, probably, of the human family on the globe in their foodstuffs. And no processor, no seller of food products wants to ever be caught selling something the consumer doesn't want.
We'll see three separate sections. At the top, on the left, there should be a section for your favorite folders and locations. Then a preview section below that. And finally, a metadata and keyword section at the bottom. The part we need to look at first is that top left box of Bridge. There should be two tabs in this section.
I really didn't want this. All I wanted was to live in peace. Which is why we gotta keep the spotlight on you. You've done most of the work already. You are the troubled neighborhood boy who cried wolf. But now, you are really going to snap. First, you killed your buddy because he was calling your girlfriend behind your back. And now we gotta bring your mom over here so you can slit her throat because she just wouldn't stop blaming you for killing your dad. So it sounds good. Good.
Robot.
Rush had admired the New York mob boss, would attempt to emulate his idol and take control of Russian organized crime in America. Ivankov posed as a police officer and entered homes under the guise of official business. He was a thief, he was a thug, but he was smart, and he was in New York. He became the personification of the so-called Russian mafia in America, particularly in the eyes of law enforcement and the New York press. As the highest-ranking member of the thieves' world in America, Ivankov brought with him a legacy of brutality and a tradition of surviving outside of governing rules.
To say that he was the major figure in the United States, yes, he was. There's no question in our mind about it. There was no question in the Russian authorities' mind about it. You have to kind of understand that Ivankov's reputation is even bigger in Russia than it is in the United States.
The news of his arrival in Brighton Beach sent fear throughout the community, which would ultimately become his base of operation. Yaponchik quickly began to organize and establish front companies for his illegal activities. He formed an American branch of his Moscow crime organization and reportedly extorted protection money from many Soviet emigre businesses.
The illegal activities that he was in were extortion, prostitution, some gambling, narcotics. And he never really left extortion. He was always involved in extortion.
The corporations that are getting the patents on life forms and genes are, for the most part, are heavily publicly subsidized. Now they get a huge public subsidy for research and development and so on. So what you get is the public is paying for the monopolization of the technology of the future, and even for interfering with growth, and is also paying to be propagandized, since they do a ton of advertising. When you get to genes and life forms, it's particularly extreme. You don't know what the genes are for, but you think maybe they'll be used for something someday and I'll own them. So I'm going to own genes, or I'm going to own somebody's blood or something like that. Furthermore, on top of all of this, it's sheer robbery. When they patent life forms, they are using the knowledge and expertise that's been gained over thousands of years by experimentation and research and achievements of what we call indigenous societies that don't have our form of ownership control. This is mostly work done by women. I mean, transmitted from mother to daughter over forever. Techniques of breeding, what should be grown where, what's useful for this purpose, and so on. A big pharmaceutical company comes in and just steals all that. They don't pay anything for it. Since there's no technical ownership in the Western sense, you don't have to pay people for the fact that for thousands of years they've been developing these things and figuring out what to do and so on. You just steal it from them. Then you make a minor modification of it, and you patent the modification, and then they have to buy it back from you.
All I want is my fucking helicopter to fly me the fuck out of here. You got that? Fuck it!
Because your market power is so extreme that, you know, they're going to have to go to you for seeds or whatever. So it's a combination of extraordinary robbery, I mean, profound immorality, and probably undermining of economic growth, quite apart from the whole moral question of the right to own life forms, which, again, that's a value question, but it looks to me kind of outlandish.
Truly, truly. Tom, will you see if Mr. Carpenter's still up? Ask him to come down here a minute.
Helen?
Yes, Tom?
Helen, he's not there, but look what I found on the carpet.
It can't be a diamond, can it?
I don't know.
It's much too big.
Oh, but it looks real to me.
Oh, Mr. Carpenter's got lots of them. He gave a couple of them to me. Here. He gave you these? Well, not exactly. I gave him $2.
I don't know, but this whole thing, it just does, that doesn't make sense. Look, Helen, do you think it's all right for you to stay here?
There's a strong lock on my door. And Bobby's going to sleep in my room tonight.
Al Capone, who was alleged to have once said, "Capitalism is the legitimate racket of the ruling class."
This week?
Nope.
Swearing? Crying? Sequencing or memory issues?
Nope.
Taking your meds? Swallow's good.
Why, what's Lewis say?
I haven't spoken to Lewis. You're the only one who can talk about what's going on with you.
In that case, I'm great.
There you go. Careful, it's hot.
I know.
Have you spoken to Mr. Tuttle yet?
No, I will.
When?
You were a model before.
Chris.
I was just wondering how you go from being a model to being a case manager.
After my head injury, I realized there were more people in the world than just me.
You want to go to a movie with me sometime?
I'd love to, but I don't think that's a good idea.
Come on, it's just a movie.
Maybe we should talk about the women in your life.
You mean besides you?
Yeah. Is there anybody? Don't you think you should do something about that?
I think about fucking you all the time.
I don't think they quite heard that over by the door.
I didn't mean it like that.
I know what you meant. You think that's something you would have said before your injury?
So you're going to bring up the frontal lobe, whatever bullshit?
Disinhibition. Don't you think that might be getting in the way of your meeting someone? I've got the feeling that walking up to a stranger and asking them for sex isn't the best way to start a relationship. Not a good one, anyway.
No, but you're not a stranger. I have a relationship with you.
I'm paid to work with you. Why are you here?
You tell me.
I know why I'm here. I'm here to help you get what you want. What you really want. Well, you gotta know what that is first.
I just want to be who I was. Stay here, like, you know, mine's today.
Labeled favorites. And one labeled folders. If the folder your images are in isn't listed in the favorites tab, through your folders by clicking the little triangles on the left side of each folder till you find the folder of images that you want to rate and edit. Click on the folder of images to load it into Bridge. You should notice all of your images start
used to be the town of Monticello, but at some point the county decided that the land would work better as a lake, so they flooded it. But there's an entire
hidden city under the water. We were here last spring, remember?
Oh yeah.
Somebody else is here.
It is a public park.
I think he's watching us.
Well, we're very good looking.
Where'd he go? Right behind that tree.
All right, so he's taking a leak.
He's coming towards us. Oh my God, he has a gun.
No, and I've seen all this before.
Deskins is trying to reinvent the driveway, so actually
where are all the other dresses?
We have some right here, and then Anani.
And watch and listen.
And I think it can be very interesting.
No.
With...
No, it's just baffling to me. Why is it so impossible to put together a decent run-through? You people have had hours and hours to prepare. It's just so confusing to me. Where are the advertisers?
We have some pieces from Banana Republic.
Well, we need more, don't we? Oh, this is... What do you think of...
Yeah. There's only two platforms in that room, Ariel.
Yes, it's pure minimalist. Simplify, simplify.
Well, you know me. Give me a full ballerina skirt and a hint of saloon and I'm on board.
But do you think it's too much like...
Like the La Croix from July? I thought that, but no, not with the right accessories. It should work.
Where are the belts for this, Jack? Why is no one ready?
Here. It's a tough call. They're so different.
Something funny?
No, nothing's, you know, it's just that both those belts look exactly the same to me. You know, I'm still learning about this stuff and...
this stuff? Oh, okay, I see. You think this has nothing to do with you. You go to your closet and you select, I don't know, that lumpy blue sweater, for instance, because you're trying to tell the world that you take yourself too seriously to care about what you put on your back. But what you don't know is that that sweater is not just blue, it's not turquoise, it's not lapis, it's actually cerulean. And you're also blithely unaware of the fact that in 2002, Oscar de la Renta did a collection of cerulean gowns, and then I think it was Yves Saint Laurent, wasn't it, who showed cerulean military jackets. I think we need a jacket here. And then cerulean quickly showed up in the collections of 8 different designers. And then it filtered down through the department stores and then trickled on down into some private casual corner where you no doubt fished it out of some clearance bin. However, that blue represents millions of dollars and countless jobs. And it's sort of comical how you think that you've made a choice that exempts you from the fashion industry when, in fact, you're wearing a sweater that was selected for you by the people in this room from a pile of stuff.
How come you're still alive?
Go to it, Paul.
Heaven is empty, but a light bulb, harsh and mechanical.
Roll the tape. Get the tape.
Jim, we have a call. We're going live.
This is the Zodiac speaking. I'm sick. I have headaches. Medical, not mental. I don't want to go to the gas chamber. I have headaches. I kill. I don't get them. I don't want to be hurt.
Why is he calling?
I don't want to go to the gas chamber. I did not say anything. My head aches. I'm so sick. Oh, I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill those kids. Okay. No.
Where would I sit, Ariel?
That's not important, Wilbur.
People do assume that the regulatory state, the agencies, the regulatory laws and their enforcement keep corporations, or at least they have in the past, I think, more assumed that they were effective or at least available to citizens for remedy or redress of harms. In fact, in the United States, regulatory agencies were actually created at the behest of large corporations more than a century ago.
Achieve the perfection of the art. Something has to happen of itself.
The Interstate Commerce Commission was really the first, and largely it was railroad barons who saw, as their power and wealth increased, that there was going to be an effort to exercise control over them. For better... So better that they participate in setting up the means of control. So regulating with agencies at best that are unelected and unaccountable to the people, regulating is not the same as our, as citizens, defining, and those are kind of opposite or at least terms in opposition to each other, regulating versus defining. So we have settled, wittingly or not, for regulating, and it's not the right relationship. Defining the corporation, the corporate form, and instructing it what it may do, what it may not do. Corporations should not have rights, only privileges that we people grant them. Regulatory agencies deal with not the relationship between citizens and corporations, not the fundamental relationship of authority in the people, but rather harms and abuses that toxic by toxic, harm by harm, are supposedly regulated, and there are ostensibly penalties, as those who worked in the environmental movement in the 70s, for instance, know what it was like to just work on one issue and one set of regulations, and it took up to a decade or more to even get them passed, by which time the situation has probably changed. So it's not an effective means of exercising the proper authority.
Man used to say to me, it's probably the only thing that we ever really agreed on is that, you know, whoever has the money has the power. And you might want to jot that down in your book. It's something that you're going to need to remember. I mean, do you have the power right now in your life, Chris? Huh? Do you?
I don't know.
How many janitors do you know have any kind of power to speak of, huh? Here's a question. Who pays for your life? When you go to the ATM, what, 2-3 times a week?
Three.
3 times? Wow. Where's that money come from? I mean, you drive a car. Who pays for that? Who pays for the insurance, which, no offense, but given your track history, must be more than the rent, which, by the way, gets paid in the first of every month, and by who?
Daddy.
Bingo. Your old man can't pay money to take care of you. But he won't give you enough money to take care of yourself, and you know why not? Because he doesn't think that you can, so he just doles out enough money so that you have to depend on him. I mean, you're stuck as a farmer, Chris. You know, you star your own tragedy.
My father would give me money if I asked him.
Hey, that's bullshit. I'm sorry. Let's call him up. Call him up, ask him. Ask him for 10 grand and see what he says. Now, ask him for 1 grand. See what he says. Tell him you want to start a business. You can't. I know. I mean, you know, I went to prison for my sins, Chris, so I don't have to carry him around with me, but you? Your old man picked up the tab, so now you drive out Old Farm Road 24 once a week to the spot just to remind yourself, just to keep it fresh in your head, just what a piece of shit you think you are.
I thought we were friends.
We are friends. Outside some old blind guy dressed like Larry Flynn. I'm the best friend you got right now, and I mean that. I mean, you were Chris Pratt. Man, I was 3 years ahead of you, and I looked up to you. I mean, you were fucking beautiful. But then... Well, now, I'm gonna help you.
How?
I'll say it again. Maybe write it down this time. Whoever has the money has the power.
The baby was gone. So I got back in the car. It was dusk. The sun was falling. And I gunned the engine and floored the accelerator and drove off in a cloud of dust, feeling freer and cleaner and more full of life and energy and expectation than ever before in my life.
Coming here now. You can hear the bombs falling on the streets and the homes. Don't tune me out. Hang on a while. This is a big story, and you're part of it. It's too late to do anything here now except stand in the dark and let them come. It's as if the lights were all out everywhere, except in America. Keep those lights burning. Cover them with steel. Ring them with guns. Build a canopy of battleships and bombing planes around them. Hello, America. Hang on to your
lights.
It's
a wonderful time for the Hollywood Jews. I mean, here were a group of Jews who had spent their lives seeking legitimacy and seeking to be embraced by America. And World War II finally affords them that opportunity to be embraced officially. They are now real patriots.
Will you check with MGM and see if they'll postpone the Hedy Lamarr picture so we can use her for the bond drive?
Surely. RKO just okayed Cary Grant. We'll hear from Paramount later today on Colbert and Dick Powell.
Oh, swell. Double check with Boyer and Abbott and Costello, will you?
Right away, yeah.
The priority on Irene Dunn has just come through. She'll leave on the 16th.
Fine, fine.
The motion picture industry today is supplying without charge all its newest and best feature films to the U.S. War Department Overseas Film Division.
The movies were a tremendous propagandistic tool during this time. They set up camps for the soldiers to come back in where movies were shown 24 hours a day because that impressed the soldiers with what they were fighting for.
It was the beginning of an unprecedented alliance between Washington and Hollywood.
And you swear that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the United States of America. I do.
For the first time, Hollywood's message was adopted by the government. A democratic state could not send minorities, immigrants, and the poor to die for an America which excluded them.
What do you want out of us? What's your angle? This is good business for everyone but you.
If the enemies were fascist, the American Army had to be portrayed as caring and sharing.
I want you to feel free to ask questions, even embarrassing ones. Come tell me with suggestions. We're going to be more than officers and men in this. We're going to be comrades. Confidence whenever it's possible before going into battle. We'll have a meeting at which I'll explain our plans and objectives so that each of you can make a more intelligent contribution to the result. Afterward, we'll have another meeting to criticize the way in which the operation was conducted. We'll fight and endure and win together.
Oh, there you are. We need to go over the seating chart for the luncheon.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I have it right here.
By all means, move at a glacial pace. You know how that thrills me. Okay. So, first of all, we need to move Snoop Dogg to my table.
But your table's full.
Stephen isn't coming.
Oh, Stephen is... So I don't need to fetch Stephen from the airport tomorrow?
Well, if you speak to him and he decides to rethink the divorce, then yes, fetch away. We're very fetching, so go fetch. And then when we get back to New York, we need to contact Leslie. See what she can do to minimize the press on all this. Another divorce. Splashed across page 6. Just imagine what they're going to write about me. The dragon lady. Career obsessed. Snow Queen drives away another Mr. Priestley. Rupert Murdoch should cut me a check for all the papers I sell for him. Anyway, I don't really care what anybody writes about me. But my girls, it's just so unfair to the girls. Just another disappointment, another letdown, another father figure. Gone. Anyway, the point is we really need to figure out where to place Donatella because she's barely speaking to anyone.
I'm so sorry, Miranda. If you want me to cancel your evening, I can.
Don't be ridiculous. Why would we do that?
Is there anything else I can do?
Your job. That's all.
Who is number one? Number. I am a free man. Who are you? Whose side are you on?
Say San Diego about the same amount. They're down a little bit less in Boston. So in many areas of the country, they are now falling. And I don't see any way out of this story except for them to continue to fall, and likely a lot more, because the inventory of unsold homes is more than 50% higher than it's ever been in the past. The number of vacant ownership units is about double its previous peak. So it's very hard to see how you correct this vast inventory unless you get a large, large drop in prices. Now, you'll also continue to see cutbacks in the housing sector itself. So housing construction's down about 20% from its peak, but it's probably going to fall a fair bit further. We might see it fall another 20% or so. So we're going to see a very, very big hit to the housing sector itself.
So what do you want? How would you edit it? Well, there's no one else here.
Integrity.
You talking to me? Could have a very serious stomach virus and a complete breakdown of the superstructure substrate itself. Or just keep on going along, risking further calamities shortly down the road. Or not. Magicians at work. I say magicians at work. On the dotted road ahead.
No? I got your photograph.
It's a Godard film from here on. D.Y.I. Godard.
Are you happy with where your eyebrows are? What about the line of your jaw?
Trust me.
Looks very round to me.
I'm Jewish. I know what media I'm talking.
Bergen jutting out jaws. You're not very adventurous, are you?
I also looked at the back of the book for the answer. Not exactly liking it, I rewrote it and looked at it again. So I know what I'm talking about. Especially since I am the only one here. And it's not even real. Magicians at work. On the stock market could either be extremely bad, potentially extremely bad, or not. People having pleasure needn't be punished or submit your rewrite of screenplay. The only reason not to be a screenwriter is all the rewrites. Gotta ruin a good thing. Although a screenwrite doctor is probably in order, but you don't just begin as a screenwriting doctor. Now can you? New metaphysics. Going down the corridor, another archetypal semiot, bounded by the obscure, underlined by the of course, don't worry though. You're being carried, and they know. Until that day, carry and walk humbly. Carry without having to stash if you drift me.
what do I want? Well, it's my show.
So, you must be new. Congratulations. Ugh, people would kill for your job. God knows I would. Oh, I love Miranda. I mean, she is such an icon. I've dealt with her a couple of times, but I'm sure she doesn't remember me. Oh, excuse me. Hello?
Well, what do they have?
Is that a... Yeah. They have a variety of skirts, so...
Who's there? Who are you dealing with?
I'm sorry, what's your name? Oh, Liz. Oh, it's Liz.
No, no, get away from her. She's useless and unattractive.
Ask for Ivan. Tell him we're doing a reshoot.
Tomorrow. We need at least 10 skirts.
So, what'd she say? Is Ivan here by any chance?